Welcome to the Writer's Well podcast, conversations about writing from craft to wellness with Rachel Herron and Jay Thorne. Hello, Jay Thorne.
Hello, Rachel Herron. How are you?
I'm great. Glad to see you. How was your writing week?
My writing week started off pretty terribly. You want to hear it? Hear the story?
Yes, I totally do.
Okay.
Oh, so no.
I'm cruising this morning. I've got like 2,000 words in the bank. I'm feeling good, you know, getting some of my admin work done. And I have this thought like, oh, I've got to rinse out the tub jets. Now, let me explain what this means. So
we have
one of those tubs.
Spa tubs?
It's like a spa tub, but it's in the bathroom. It's like a regular tub, but it's got like, you know, a few jets on it. And we don't really use it that often, but every once in a while. But you have to run the jets because otherwise the water just kind of lays in the tubes and it gets all funky and stuff, right? So the way you do it is you have to fill it up above the jets, run it with the cleaner in for 10 or 15 minutes, and you're good to go. So I'm feeling all good. I'm feeling great. You know, I'm like getting shit done, and I'm like, and I normally don't do like chores during the workday, but I was walking past it and I'm like, I'll knock it off my list and I'm doing other stuff. So I go in and I fill up the tub. I put the cleaner in. I hit the button, and I run to the other room, and I'm like, I'm doing some stuff, and I go downstairs and I'm all the way in the basement and I start to hear a trickle of water.
No.
And I'm like, that shouldn't be happening. And so I run upstairs and I'm such a dumbass. When you start the jets and no one's in the tub, what happens is the water starts to rock back and forth. and then it rocked up and back into high and low enough that the jets, the water went below the level of the jets. So every time the water rocked, it sprayed all the walls of the bathroom with water. And this must have been happening for like 10 minutes. And I go upstairs and the floor is covered in water. The mirror, there's water dripping off of everything. And I'm like, oh my God.
I'm assuming your wife was not home.
No, thank God, because my wife is a bit of a neat freak. So I'm like, fuck, now I have to double time it because I have to dry this out before she gets home or else she's going to find out. So I'm in there with like paper towels, a shop vac. I've got a box fan pointed into the bathroom. The bath mat is in the washing machine. And I'm like, oh my God. All because I thought, oh, I'll just knock off a chore and like as I'm walking past the bathroom. So that's how my work week started.
I am never getting one of those bathtubs. I'll tell you what, that just sounds like a pain in the ass.
And we've had it for years and I should have known better. And I don't know why I didn't just like stand there and wait for the 10 minutes. I was like, no, I'll go do other stuff. And
because boof, multitasking is
boof.
So
I mean, when I walked in, it was like poof, boof, boof, like spraying the walls.
I wish you had actually taken a little video of it, but I guess the extreme problem was,
oh my God,
to
I was in
stop it.
Panic mode. And I wasn't in panic mode about the water. I was like, oh my God, how am I going to cover this up before my wife gets home? I'm like, I have 6 hours, T-minus 6 hours to Operation Dry Out.
Do you think you'll make it?
Oh, I think so. I got the mat is out of the dryer. It's back on the floor, but it looked too clean. So then I had to like go in the tub and like get my feet wet and then come out and step on it and like rough it up a little bit because I didn't want her to be like, why is the bath mat so clean?
Because there's no way out of that. There's no way to say.
No, what would I say?
It felt like cleaning the bathroom and washing the rug.
Yeah, just randomly clean the bathroom. Even though it's not looking any cleaner, I just randomly did that. Yeah.
Well, it is cleaner now. I bet all the walls are cleaner.
There's no more dust in there. And the worst part was then I had to go downstairs because the water I heard trickling was the water that was flooding into the air duct ran all the way down the air duct and was dripping out at the at the bottom all the way in the basement.
At least it wasn't coming through the walls.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So how has your week been? How's your week?
So far, mine is great. I got like 2,400 words. I need about 600 more to be happy today. And I'll do that after this. And my world feels very peaceful. Like I had breakfast with friends. There's no water. The housekeepers just left. So like my house is clean in time to talk to you. It's just perfect.
So don't go cleaning your tub right now.
I am not even going to touch that thing. No. You know what is nice though about this Monday is that when I, for fall semester on Mondays, I always teach, you know, and it's like a 14 or 15 hour day with grading. Right. We do it all in one day. And then I drive out there and I usually get home at 10:30 at night. And it was Thanksgiving week. So today it felt so relaxing to wake up and just go do words and write on a Monday, which just makes me so much happier.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, Zach and I were in Cincinnati together this past weekend doing a meeting and it went really well, and we hadn't planned on podcasting, but we had both a regular episode and a Q&A episode we were going to record today. And we were already there and he had his mic and we got our work done. So we're like, hey, let's knock it out. And I had that same, that's why I was feeling so good about cleaning the tub. Cause like, I didn't have to podcast with Zach twice today. And I was like, oh, it felt like a gift, you know?
There is something about knocking out some of those household chores while you're really working. Like I will go put in a load of laundry and then come back and work hard until I hear it buzz. And like, oh yeah, I've been doing that. Yeah. That is satisfying, but you did it wrong.
Yeah. Epic fail.
That is awesome. Well, let's tell people about what's going on around here. We have no new patrons, and you can always find us and support us over at patreon.com/thewriterswell. But what I wanted to say was that one of our mastermind people, we had two people in our mastermind. One of them is taking a little break because we've answered her questions for now. And I kind of wanted to use it as a time to say, Patreon is a drop-in, drop-out kind of thing. We are never going to get mad at you if you support us for a dollar for 3 months and then stop. Or if you come in at the level in which you're in our mastermind and meet with the two of us once a month for a few months and then drop out.
One problem you need to have solved and you want one session once, it's fine.
Exactly. So I just wanted to put that out there. Patreon is a fluid thing. I know that my Patreon... The way I am a patron to other artists goes up and down with my income level and my ability. Sure. So that is super, super cool. And I wanted to mention that and thank all of our current, future, past and present patrons.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you, everybody.
Yes.
Also, quick update before we get into comments from last week's episode is that the Fire documentary is now streaming. So I will put a link in the show notes. I'll put the Amazon link, but I think it's on just about all the major streaming platforms if you're interested in checking it out.
It is, but it's difficult because it's called Playing with Fire. And there's a major movie in theaters right now. I saw it last night, also called
Playing
with
Fire. Oh, it's in theaters now too?
In theaters, or I guess it's coming to theaters because they have the big fire engines and stuff up and the posters.
Yeah.
So when you Google Playing with Fire, you get the fire one. But if you go a few deeper, you find the documentary.
Yeah.
So, and I really enjoyed it. It's a good, it's a good primer, I think.
It is. It is. Yeah. I felt like, I took my wife and my oldest and I felt like it was a good overview for them to kind of get an idea of what the heck this thing is. Cause it's hard to describe it. And one of the common issues that I hear in the fire community is, okay, how do you have that talk with your spouse or significant other who hasn't been?
The movie.
Yeah, so like you just have, you know, you just watch the movie. So if you're curious and don't know much about it, or if you know a lot about it and want a good way to kind of break the ice for somebody else, I think the documentary is a great, it's a great thing. It's not like, it's not highly in depth or detailed where if you're already into fire, you're going to get a ton out of it. I think it's more about stepping back and seeing like the bigger picture and how this fits into, you know, modern lifestyles.
And if you all missed that episode and you don't even know what we're talking about with fire, it is financial independence, retire early. So it's about money. And I do have to say that I watched that with Lala. And then right after that, her reward was I told her we were going to watch Stephen Colbert goes to New Zealand and gets picked up by the Prime Minister, Jacinda, which was great. So it's like, you know, 10-minute little funny thing. And then so we watched that and then we watched the Stephen Colbert. And then we both sat there and went, maybe we should move to New Zealand.
Yeah.
Seriously. And then I got up and did all this research. And that's kind of what we're thinking right now, because we have the golden ticket.
You have the citizenship.
Yeah, I have the passport and domestic partners can live in New Zealand.
Wow.
They didn't used to be able to, but now, you know, like back in the day, but now they can. And it's actually affordable.
Wow.
It's about the price that we were looking to spend here. So it's not a done deal. It's not what we're going to do, but it is something that we are thinking about seriously doing.
Well, you have to go just because I want to come visit you.
Hell yes. And we're saying right now, we're saying if we do it, it'd be for a year or two, just kind of like for a trial. I'm not abandoning this country forever, but it is something. So thanks for that, Fire. Now we're
good. Here's another thing to think about for that.
Yeah.
You could, if you're only thinking for like a year or two, you could do some house sitting.
Oh, wow.
There are, I think trustedhousesitters.com is like the biggest, most recognized website. It's vetted on both ends and there's no money that exchanges hands.
Right. I've read about this.
Yes. So you could, I mean, if you were willing to move around New Zealand, like, you know, maybe a month or so at a time,
you wouldn't
have to pay anything to live there.
You just blew my mind. I think Lala would melt down if I brought this up right now. She's already panicked about packing. But I'm going to let that simmer. That's amazing.
Check into that. Yeah.
I will. Oh my God. Okay, down to business and comments, which I just realized I didn't get a chance to look at. So you need to tell me. You need to really tell me about these comments.
All right. I will do my best. This was the Writer's Well episode, landmark episode number 150. Where do you get your ideas? And that was such a great question, even though you thought it was going to be kind of light and fluffy. Went a different way.
It looks like people liked it on this quick glance here.
Yeah. So Christopher jumped in there and says he's a terrible dancer. And I'll take his word on that. I am as well. We had Jenny jumped in and she said, wow, she has so many. Her observation was her default as a child helped me cope with being in the world. She used to spend hours on her swing singing about what she could see. So I think that's definitely getting into the observational mode there.
I love that.
Yeah. Harlan Ellison chimed in on the quotes, otherwise known as Lawn, and said he gets them from a P.O. box in Poughkeepsie. So thanks, Harlan.
Wait, is Lawn really Harlan?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. I was getting so confused. Okay.
No, he's not. Amy just said Damon Swade is amazing. Absolutely, he sure is. RJ said, keeping up on the news, current events and daydreaming. Now, RJ... I think RJ was a police officer.
Right.
Yeah. So I could imagine him getting inspiration much like you did as a, you know, 911 dispatch to getting that real life kind of stuff there, you know?
Totally.
Yeah. Chris Kane jumped in, said, she wasn't really sure if my theory on introversion and observation plays out because her husband is highly attuned to the room. So I thought that was a good counterpoint to make there. Eliza, song lyrics, totally forgot about song lyrics.
Yeah.
Music is very inspiring. Not for me, not just lyrics, also music, but yeah, definitely lyrics.
Yeah.
Kim Barton said she loved the discussion of open awareness and being mindful. So that was helpful. Edwin, his first thought was macro or micro. So I think he's talking about like big picture ideas or small picture developments, which is also another neat way of thinking about it.
Good point. I was really talking more like macro, but I like thinking about it in the micro term too.
Yes. Yes. Kate Colby might have a future as a post-apocalyptic writer because she was thinking of what could possibly go wrong in all these situations. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of...
Anxiety will trigger that.
Anxiety will do that. Yeah. Maggie M says she's intuitive, not visual. So I imagine that's kind of along the lines of what you were talking about.
Very much so. Yeah.
Lisa, this was a really interesting comment I thought Lisa had. She said, part of what she said was, you know, that decisions are about multiple possible universe ideas. So she said, you know, the one where every decision you make leads to a new timeline. And I think about that a lot. It's such a powerful way of thinking about decision making, in that every time you make a decision, your life branches, and it does that to infinity, you know?
And she says, for example, if I'm dragging and really don't want to exercise, I'll ask myself, which Lisa I want to be, the out of shape or the one who feels good.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. I love that. It was a great, great, insightful comment there. And we had one from Terry. And he said his main inspiration is whenever he sees causes of injustice and he comes up with ideas of how to rid the world of that, which is great. Very nice and positive.
Awesome answers.
Yeah. Great answers. Thank you to all of you who are commenting there and keeping the conversation alive. We always appreciate your engagement.
Absolutely. I'm going to engage soon. I appreciate my own engagement. But I have a question for you today.
You do. And it's the last day or yes. last episode of November, which means we're on our theme, which happens to be financial health.
Financial health. We're looking at health. It's my turn to ask, and it's about financial. Had I planned that, I would have asked you about fire this week. However, I think it works out well because I actually have a problem which I don't know how to solve, and I don't know if you're going to know how to solve it. Okay, I'm not even going to qualify anything. I'm just going to say this is for people who are independently employed, which is perhaps everyone who listens to this podcast wants to be someday. If you are at current employed, this question might not apply to you yet. I would like to know what you do about insurance, specifically long-term disability insurance.
All right. Yes, I'm afraid I am not the best person to ask for this.
Well, let's talk some things through.
Yeah, let's do that. The reason it's not something I have to think about is because my wife works full time, mm-hmm. and my wife she doesn't consider herself to be a creative, even though I think she's creative, but she's doesn't care and she's too old to change. She thinks so. That's what she is. But I do know that she really doesn't enjoy being on her own or being like dependent on herself to earn income or anything. Like she likes to have a nice consistent salary. She likes to have people at the office and get to know them. So it was really easy for us in that she had a job with all the benefits. Now, one of the wrinkles was she was changing jobs this summer, and I told her, like, you can't get a job that doesn't have benefits. We can't have both of us without benefits when you like that kind of job and work. Like, that would be ridiculous, you know?
Right.
Like, if you were another creative and we were both like working for ourselves, then we would have come up with another solution. But the fact that you enjoy going to a 9-to-5 and being part of a company means you have to get benefits. And
yes,
she pushed back on it in a few places. And I was like, no, you have to, we don't have any other choice. And she did. It's crazy now that she works for the Cleveland Clinic. And so we get these incredible benefits through the Cleveland Clinic. So it worked out even better than I anticipated it would.
That's cool.
But all that is to say, I don't know how to answer your question because I haven't had to do that yet.
Okay, let me tell you where my worry is, because I also have insurance through Lala, who works full time. Mm-hmm. So we are both privileged in that. And to people who don't live in America, this will sound... This won't be an interesting conversation for them because yes. they probably have healthcare, which is a big drive for us thinking about New Zealand.
Yep.
But for me, I have this fear. I have two fears. I have the fear that Lala will get laid off. Her company will probably be bought out in the next year or two, and then it will contract. And that's when they start letting go of web developers, when they contract. She is over 50 in the tech industry. Uh-huh. And as a woman over 50, it is just statistically harder to get a job again. So at any minute, knock wood, God forbid, she could be out of a job and out of insurance. And COBRA is like, you know, $1,500 a month.
Is that how much it is now?
That's to cover yourself in the interim is $1,500 to $2,000 a month. Because I looked into it when I lost my job. And when I quit my job, I didn't lose my job. I kicked it to the curb. But the other thing is what if something happened to me right now and I couldn't write and bring in the money and had no more books coming, God forbid, knock wood. But I need that certain amount of money in order to make our hefty mortgage here in California. Mm-hmm. And long-term disability, which we don't have in terms of insurance, really nobody has that unless you pay extra for it. That would be like $300 a month for me to pay to get approximately, about 2/3 of what I bring in right now, which would cover the mortgage, my part of the mortgage. But that just seems like a hell of a lot of money to throw away if I, I don't plan on getting sick or being hit by a bus or anything like that. But if I don't get it, will I regret it? It's one of those anxieties that is keeping me up at night.
Yes, I understand.
You know?
Yeah. It's serious because you know, you're worried about the catastrophic stuff. And what really sucks is that it isn't even the catastrophic stuff. It could be something acute that seems kind of minor. And maybe it's like a one night stay in the hospital and a simple procedure could be $20,000, $30,000, $40,000.
Yeah, I'm more worried because our insurance, which is bad, but we could probably come up with the 10,000 of our copay for that. But like even, even something like, you know, breaking both wrists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, or having carpal tunnel and that, you know, there's dictation and all of those other kinds of things. But those are things that could happen and change everything. And I guess this is not so much a question as kind of like a worry session, but how, up until now, I've just been risking and comfortable with that risk because I'm pretty comfortable with a pretty high level of risk. Mm-hmm. But thinking ahead and looking at money things ahead and planning out future financials makes me wonder, like, do I want to invest that $300 a month or put it into insurance? And how does one make that decision? So you don't have long-term disability.
Me personally, no. I mean, yeah. I think she might as the employee of the company, but I don't think I would.
I don't think you would. And at my last few jobs, I had to purchase it separately.
Yeah.
But I was employed by, you know, government, local government. So that might have been different. Maybe in a corporate world, you get long-term disability. Mm-hmm. I think Lala does have something minor like that.
Yeah.
But
you don't. Well, let me approach this from a different angle.
And I
honestly, like, I don't know if this is at all feasible or even true, but I know when my wife was looking for a new job, she was considering Starbucks because I think she said you can work part-time and you still get benefits from day one.
I don't want benefits, really. I just want the long-term disability.
Oh, you're not concerned because about the insurance itself.
If Lala lost her job and she couldn't find another one and get the benefits because she likes also working for an outside enterprise, I would go to Starbucks right now.
Okay.
I would just go right down there. But in terms of the other kinds of insurance that'll take care of you for years, a long-term disability will cover you until you're 67. And then I guess Medicare kicks in. Although Medicare doesn't carry long-term disability. But
Well, so let's say... All right, so... Is your max out of pocket $10,000 a year?
I think it is.
Is that why you're saying you could cover the $10,000 if something happened?
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess the question then is, at what point does the insurance company stop paying the bills if something happens, right? Like if you, let's say you have an accident in February and you have to go back for 6 months for physical therapy and stuff.
Right.
Is that, but if it's something where you're permanently disabled, mm-hmm. that's where your concern is.
That, or permanently or short term. Like if you couldn't work for, you know, 12 months because you're doing physical rehab and not making any money.
Yeah.
Then money is still coming in. Now I'm terrifying you.
No, I don't, oh boy, this is, you know, everyone, we are not medical professionals. We're not legal professionals. We're not giving advice.
We're not giving advice because we don't know anything to do. You can put that $300 into a compounding calculator and see what it looks like in 10 years. And it's a hell of a lot more money. So then you're kind of insuring yourself, like putting that money aside makes sense to me.
Well, I think here's another reason why it's not on my radar. I have a retirement account, and I think you said you emptied yours for your house, right?
I emptied the big one, yeah. Yep.
So I would...
Oh, because you could go to your...
I would take, if it were before 59 and a half, I would pay the penalty on the early withdrawal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if it were that dire... The other thing is like, I would... I do have a pretty nice life insurance policy, so if I was permanently disabled, I might tell my wife, just, hey, push me out the window. Collect the big money, you'll be set.
That's terrible.
I know.
Oh my God. Yeah. All right. Well, so let's broaden this out then into just saying that this is another thing we have to think about in terms of financial health.
Yeah, I think it is.
Before we make the jump to full-time, all of those things have to be considered, whether you have a partner who has insurance or not. That was what enabled me to make the jump. And I bet it's also what enabled you to make the jump, that we didn't have to worry about that.
Well, yeah. And if you've been looking at it, I mean, can you purchase just long-term disability?
That's all it is. Yeah, that's what long-term disability is. It'd be about $300 a month. For me to have my own insurance a month, it's like, if it's Kaiser and a good plan, which I prefer, like not the lowest, but it would be about $1,300 a month just for me. So Cobra, which is the coverage, is actually more. But yeah, Lala's is actually technically a better insurance, but it's Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I just can't stand them. I love Kaiser.
Yeah, you know, it's, I think no matter what, it's going to be a gamble. It's a risk.
It's such a gamble.
Right? Because like you said, you know, you could go 30 years and never need that. And what you would be, what you would have amassed by putting $300 a month into a, you know, high yield savings or Vanguard or something.
It's done.
Yeah.
That money's gone, right? You know, if I'm healthy for another 20 years, then thank you. I've given you $300 a month.
Yeah. I mean, at $300 a month, you could put that into a Roth IRA.
Oh, yeah.
And then you could, then I don't think there's a penalty for taking out, I might be wrong on that. I don't know. I think
you shouldn't get
it. Yeah. I think with the Roth RIA is a little more flexible on the drawdown. It's
definitely more flexible than like the SEP IRA or something, which I do contribute into. But I'm doing the math real quick. If it was just in a regular low interest,
like 7% or something.
Yeah. 7% for 20 years looks about to be, sorry, I should have done this offline, but everybody is riveted right now. It's calculating. Well, first, what is 300 times 12? I didn't do that math. It's a very low amount.
3,600?
You're right. Because you can do math like that.
A little bit of math.
That's a tiny bit of math. So that would come out to $17,000.
That's it?
With that kind of, yeah, I know. I thought it would be more.
Yeah. Huh. At 7% over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if something suddenly happens, so this is where the gamble is. If something suddenly happened, they're going to give me $4,000 a month. That's just 4 months right there.
Yeah.
For 20 years.
I don't know. That's tough.
I think I've asked one that has finally stumped us.
Yeah.
Stumped us both. I actually really like that we've done this. I would like to say ahead of time that anything anybody says in our comments is not legal advice for anyone, including you and me.
Right.
However, I'd love some outside takes on that.
Yeah.
How does that gamble work for you and your family?
Yeah. If you're not in the position to do that, would you consider it? You know, because you might think, well, this doesn't apply to me now, but it could, you know, if things go the way you want it to, it could apply to you.
Exactly. How might you do that then?
Yeah.
And you know what? I would appreciate, Jay, if you put in the show notes, none of this is legal or medical advice.
Yeah. I better put a note in there right now so that I don't forget.
Literally, I have no idea what we're talking about, but I'm learning about these things, and a lot of things in finance and financial health are fear driven.
Yes, that is true.
And I know that I am driven by fear.
Yeah.
So something to think about and contemplate.
Yep.
Thanks for not helping me at all. But
yeah, it was a great question. It was really easy for me to answer. I was like, at first I'm like, oh, I don't have to worry about it. Now I'm like, oh shit. Now I got something else to worry about.
Sorry. Just moved to New Zealand.
Hey, I'll tell you, you just made my whole tub morning so much better now, because now that's nothing compared to this.
Ruined your whole day.
Way to cap it off, Rachel.
I think you should just stay in place.
I shouldn't have got out of bed today. I should have just stayed in bed.
In place. Nothing else will happen. At least your bathroom is very clean. And right now, speaking of Patreon, as we were earlier, we're going to do our Patreon Q&A, and we haven't done it in a while. So there are so many questions, and they're going to be so good, and it's all on video. And so let's move over to there. We'll try to cheer ourselves up.
All right. It sounds like a plan.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.